Today we're going to talk about teaching responsibility. A lot of people think about teaching responsibility as equivalent to teaching children how to do chores. Now that's not what I mean by responsibility, although the ability to do chores, so to speak, may be part of responsibility. A chore, just to define that term, is some sort of household task that the parents would like a child to do, and to do it responsibly. So let's say the child is assigned to the task of setting the table on Mondays and Wednesdays or something, and clearing the table on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Or the child is assigned to the task of taking the dishes off the table and bringing them to the counter, or putting them in the dishwasher. Those are all examples of responsibilities, we could say, or chores, all right? Now, if a child actually does have that kind of responsibility, that would be one example of the use of the word responsibility, having a task that is the child's task to do for a while. Some people have tasks that, you know, they rotate in the family, so, you know, the child has a particular chore to do once a month, he rotates it through and he's doing alternate chores every week or whatever it is. Whatever system you use, the chore could be thought of as a responsibility. But there are many other responsibilities that children have in the way that I'm using this word. I'm using it to mean that the child is responsible for something that pertains to his own well-being, or responsible for something that involves other people, like thinking of other people. His responsibility for his own well-being, for example, would be his ability to do his homework. The child's homework is his responsibility. Or for the child to get up on time in the morning. Now, if a child is 6 years old or older, I would say that this begins to be his responsibility. It's also his responsibility to go to sleep at night. Now, you can put a child to bed, as you know, but you can't put them to sleep. And for the child to shut his eyes and slow himself down and turn off all his stimulating activities and thoughts and everything and put himself to sleep, that's his responsibility, just like it's your responsibility as an adult to put yourself to sleep at a time that works for you so that you can get up and function well the next day. Although I must say a lot of us don't fulfill that responsibility very well. But anyways, now we can have a responsibility that involves taking care of other people's feelings. For example, calling home. If a child is allowed to go out, but the parents say, well, I'd like you to call me at 11 o'clock and tell me where you are and whether you need a ride home, for example. If the child forgets to call, we might think of him as being, in that moment, irresponsible. And then we want the child to remember to call, in which case he would be responsible. So he's got that responsibility to carry out what he said he would do, to fulfill his promises. In adulthood, we know that a spouse who doesn't fulfill their promise is going to be thought of as irresponsible, letting the partner down. So there's that concept again of looking after other people through the sense of responsibility that we have to them. And some of our responsibilities are just to ourselves. In childhood, money management would be a responsibility that is normally pertaining to the child himself, but in adulthood, money management, in a marriage for sure, will involve being responsible to the family as well, certainly to one's spouse and also to one's children. So things that we may learn in childhood and practice independently may turn out to shift over categories in adulthood and end up being responsibilities to others. For example, our ability to keep our own room clean and our own spaces clean and so on in childhood, which is a personal responsibility, in adult marriage becomes a joint responsibility because you're having shared space and each of you would be responsible to maintain that space. So these are some examples of the type of responsibility that we'd like children to be trained in, to have, to leave our homes being responsible grown-ups. Now the challenge. The challenge is that, first of all, we're dealing with children. So children are very present-oriented. As a group, they like to play. They like to fritz around. They like to just, you know, get on that computer or play with their toys or do whatever they want, they don't like responsibilities particularly. Although there are some little kids who have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and we don't like them to have that. You know, this is the kind of responsibility where a six-year-old girl, let's say, feels that she has to get all the younger children dressed and ready for school because both parents are drunk or something. Now, it could be that the parents are not drunk, but they're not available, or they're busy, or they can't do it by themselves, and a little kid develops an overblown sense of responsibility. See, we don't want to burden little kids with that kind of responsibility, even though they may be competent helpers. We want to make sure they don't actually feel responsible for adult responsibilities. It's the parent's job to run the house and make sure that everybody's looked after, and the child can have a function, that is, everybody can chip in according to their age and skill set, but children are not seen to be responsible for adult tasks, right? So you can certainly assign a six-year-old to help get the baby's clothes together in the morning. That could be one of her chores, but that would be about it. We want to limit what a six-year-old does. And as a child grows bigger, you know, a 12-year-old can often run an entire house, can cook all the meals, you know, prepare for holidays and Sabbath and everything, and could do everything, you know. By 12 years old, they're competent enough. If you teach them, they can do it. But again, in terms of responsibility, I wouldn't assign them that kind of responsibility except in some sort of emergency situation. But coming back to the challenge that we have in teaching kids to be responsible, most children like to play, and they don't want to particularly do their homework or do their chores or any kind of, you know, burdensome or boring task. So that's one challenge, just to how to get kids to do things that they have to do. In other words, to fulfill their responsibilities. Another challenge, is that some kids are responsibility challenged. For example, the attention deficit group of children have poor executive functioning. That's the part of the brain that does planning and that links consequences to actions. Now, they might be at an extreme, but children in the normal group of children also have some of this problem. Let's say in the ADHD, it's particularly challenging because of that deficit in executive functioning. So these kids may not look ahead and see, well, what will happen if I forget to hand in this assignment, or if I don't do the assignment? What will happen in the long run if I don't do any of my classwork, for example, if I do it very poorly? Or, you know, what if I don't do the research for this project weeks in advance like everybody else in the class is doing it, but I just try to do it the night before? Now, again, that's a problem that a lot of people have, not just ADHD people, but poor planning in terms of not looking ahead and seeing how much time will a task take and can I do it in that time. So then normal teenagers, for example, often look like they're irresponsible because they didn't plan their schedule out properly to allow for the time that a certain academic task might take. And teenagers, never mind, you know, just for that example, in general, because they have the quality of being, sensing that they themselves are invincible somehow, and they are, in fact, quite naive and very inexperienced just due to their age. They just haven't lived long enough. So they may be irresponsible, again, because of not anticipating the real serious consequences of their actions. So we can have a kid who's in grade 11 or grade 12 and, you know, about to move on to college, university or something, and doesn't realize that if they don't work hard this year, if they don't stop all that partying, they may not get into the school of their choice, or they may not have the career of their choice. And we could call them irresponsible. In fact, you know, you might start yelling at them, how irresponsible could you be? Why didn't you see what was coming? You know, but teenagers themselves have that sort of, they live in a bubble where they don't really see outside this moment. They're very like children. They are in the moment, and they can't see what's coming ahead all the time. That's just as a group. These are the characteristics of children. that whereas, you know, we adults have the benefit of hindsight and looking at, you know, well, what does happen if you don't fulfill your responsibilities in various areas? You know, you can let people down and then they won't want to be your friends. Or they won't like you if you keep letting them down when you make arrangements with them. Or if you don't clean up, then, you know, you can get bugs in your room and it can be unhealthy and people will get mad at you. You know, if you don't manage your money well, you won't have enough money to spend and you won't be able to enjoy your life. Like, we can make, having made a lot of those mistakes ourselves, you know, we at middle age, whatever, we can look back and say that, you know, a person needs to be responsible in all of these areas. But kids don't know that yet. Now, our job as parents is to try and give them as much of a head start on this skill as possible. You know, children vary in their innate sense of responsibility. So we talked about that little six-year-old who might be running the house for her mom because she feels like it's her job or her responsibility. So that's an extreme case. That's unhealthy and burdensome for the development of a child. But we have some kids who just, they're responsible. They're responsible from birth. That is their nature, right? They will hand every school assignment in on time, and they will always remember to call home, and they will clean up their little room and make everything tidy, and maybe even encourage other people in the house to be tidy as well. So we have these kids who, that's the way they are. And then we have their siblings who are just the opposite. You know, they're just scatterbrained and they're forgetting things. They forget to bring their homework home and they're disorganized. And if they do it, they forget to take it back. That's if they were responsible enough to do it. And some of them just, you know, wouldn't even bother doing it and they don't think of the consequences. And they're just irresponsible, we might say, by nature. Now, the kids who are responsible by birth, they're not going to need our help. They're just going to carry on in life being plenty responsible. So it's the average child and the responsibility-challenged child, shall we call him, who's going to need our parental intervention. So what is it that we can do to help children acquire more sense of responsibility? Well, first of all, we can be talking about responsibility. You know, dinner time is a great time when we're all sitting around to talk about stories that we hear in the news, read in the magazines, etc., of what happened to people who did not plan or who did plan well. You know, tell those stories. Success stories are even more better. They're inspirational. They're, you know, show the child what to do. The what not to do stories, you know, cautionary tales, we can tell a little bit of as well. We can even tell stories from our own life where something paid off in terms of responsibility or something did not work out because of irresponsibility. We can just share with our kids. And that's better. You know, telling stories is a better teaching venue than lecturing when you are upset. Okay, first of all, lecturing is not a good teaching technique, period. And when you are upset is not what we call a teaching moment. So we don't want to do that. But, you know, we can talk about even when we're dividing the chores. Let's say you have a six-year-old, an eight-year-old, and a 10-year-old or something at the table, and you start talking about the importance of everybody helping out because a family works together and a family helps each other, and no one person should have to do everything for another person. Well, even as you're discussing that, you know, talking about that, that's part of teaching the concept of mutual responsibility. That means caring for each other. And then you can have the kids, you know, talk, well, you can actually have everybody drop a list of what chores there are to be done. For example, if you're just talking about the dinner time chores, bringing food to the table, clearing food off to the table, clearing dishes off, putting them in the dishwasher or washing them, putting them away after they're washed, all these different parts of just getting meals served and done, you know, you could be talking about the fact that that job shouldn't fall on any one person because we all eat together and we all look after each other. So how should we do it? And even a six-year-old, eight-year-old, and 10-year-old can do some problem-solving and pick a system that will work in your house. Some kids sign up for a task and they just do it from then on, like the whole way of childhood. And other kids want a rotating system of tasks where they get to have a new one, you know, every couple of days. So that's something, you know, whether you make a task wheel or whether you come up with some other system, that doesn't matter. It's the talking about the ideas that matters and the telling of stories. Now, when you see that a child is doing something that could be described as responsible, you can use the CLEAR method, comment, label, reward, to encourage that kind of responsibility. The reward step can be left off for children who do not need specific training in responsibility. In other words, kids who are not irresponsible don't need the reward part. We only stick that reward in when we're training a child in order to avoid having to punish the child, right? We're going to try the reward system first. But the comment label would go for every child. So, oh, I see you put your clothes in the laundry hamper. That was very responsible of you. Okay, that's the comment. I see you put your clothes in the laundry hamper. That's a specific comment describing what behavior it is that we consider to be responsible. And then using the label itself, responsible. So we say to the child, that was very responsible of you. Or, oh, you remember to call home when I asked you to. Thank you, honey. That was so responsible of you. Okay, so again, we have that comment label. Oh, I see you got yourself up all by yourself this morning. That's great. That was so responsible of you. So there's a lot of ways that we can use that, and we're using the word. If you value responsibility, so use that word in your house. Use responsible. Talk about responsibility. It's a value that you can pass on to your children if they hear you use it. But if they never hear you use it, then I don't know. Kids aren't mind readers. So now, if a child did have a problem waking up by himself, and you wanted to actually throw that reward step in of the CLEAR method, then it would sound like this. Well, you got up all by yourself this morning using your own alarm. That was so responsible of you. I think that deserves such and such. Now, the such and such could be, depending on how old this child, you know, an extra privilege of some kind. It could be as simple as a big hug and kiss or a handshake. I think that deserves a handshake, you know, and just kind of kidding around with the child. And kidding around with a child is a very positive form of reward and reinforcement, because children just love the warmth and closeness of laughing with their parents. So I think that deserves a big handshake. You know, might be fine for some kids, and others it might have to be a cash prize. So, you know your customer, but you want, if you are using a reward to encourage responsibility, it would only be for the first couple of times the child showed responsibility in a specific task, and then you would thin out that reward. So you give it one more time and skip another time, then give it another time, then skip two times, then give it one more time and skip the rest of the time, sort of thing. You know, like, you would maybe give it three times in a row and then start that skipping process, because you want the child just to know that it's valuable to you that he is being responsible, but you're not paying him to be responsible. So you don't want a reward to be a permanent part of that feature. It's just an attention grabber. The child will know, hey, this is important. Mom or dad thinks it's worth an extra piece of cake or an extra, few minutes on that computer or the video or whatever it is that you want to reward that child with. Now, failure to be responsible can also be disciplined with the two times rule. So if a child was supposed to call home but did not call home, for example, you can say to him, look, it's really important that you do call home, because otherwise we worry about you being, hurt or something. So, please call home. So you'd say that the first time that the child forgets. The second time that the child shows irresponsibility in this way, you'd say to him, look, I told you before, it's really important for you to call home because we worry about you and it's very unpleasant for us. From now on, when you don't call home, such and such consequence will occur. And then again, considering the age of your child, the stage, I don't know if this is an 8-year-old or an 18-year-old, whatever it is, different consequences for different kids. But, you would, on the third time the kid didn't call home, that's the beginning of the consequence. And then you would use the same consequence for the next two or three occasions. And if that doesn't stop the behavior, then you know that your consequence is not the right consequence and you have to switch to something that might be more meaningful for the kid. So don't use the same consequence more than three times. Always switch if it's not working. Now, in something like money management, the consequences are built in. They're called natural consequences. So if you do give your children an allowance, it can really help teach them responsibility with money, because, you could say, well, here's your budget. It's a budget for the week. And, don't come to me when it runs out, right? So with young children, it can be a budget for the week. With older teenagers, it can be a budget for the month or a budget for 6 months, as you want them to you know, try and figure out how to plan their entertainment, their snack budget, their clothing budget, everything by the time they're in their late teens. Let them mess up with a little budget of money at home so that they will learn responsibility in the safety of your home where really nothing bad will happen to them. But they will learn through natural consequences. Hey, if I spend too much money, then I don't have any left, right? And it's better to do that before you get married and before money management becomes an interpersonal responsibility. Same thing with many other responsibilities that happen in adolescence, like being responsible not to drink too much alcohol and so on, being responsible with a car, you know, driving it within the speed limit and all these things. There are natural consequences that can kick in. You don't always need to use externally imposed parental consequences like you might have to do with younger children for some of the irresponsible behavior that they might show. Same thing, you know, if a child, for example, had a very, very messy room, but he was, you know, 17 years old, but it was so messy that it was smelling and disgusting and dangerous. You know, things are crawling around the house now. So, you know, the privilege of being able to be in one's room means that one must be responsible to take care of it, and that privilege can be removed. And you might call that a logical type of consequence, but it is an externally imposed consequence from the parent. If the parent says, you know, well, I'm thinking here of a room where the kid had his own private space in the basement or something, or he had his own room, but the rule was the parent can't come in. Well, that's a great rule if the kid is responsible to take care of that room. But if the kid is not responsible, then, yeah, the parent may have to come in. And again, that would be set up in a form of the two times rule. So the parent may have to come in and clean that room out, or there may have to be something that the child and the parent work out together. So responsibilities are also, you know, there's a privilege side to having things like a car, a cell phone, money, you know, a room of one's own and all that stuff. We have to be responsible. And during the growing up years, parents can give lots of responsibility to their children so they'll have a chance to learn to manage responsibility, to experience what goes wrong when they don't manage it well, to experience, you know, the parental pleasure and positive feedback when they do manage it well, and also the success of managing their own responsibilities well. Like when a kid is able to save up a lot of money and make, you know, buy himself something that he really wants because he managed that money well, you know, that's a terrific lesson in responsibility. That's the best lesson ever, because perhaps now he can buy himself that keyboard or that car or that cell phone or whatever it is, because he managed his funds responsibly. So we want to give kids lots of freedom and opportunity to experience responsibility, and only remove it when, or not necessarily remove it even, but consequence it, I would say, because you really want them to have another chance and another chance, because you want them to succeed at responsibility. So, you know, removing things is not the best way to get them to be responsible, but rather consequencing them in another way. For example, a child who spends too much money on his cell phone, well, you want him to keep that cell phone so he can have another chance, but you might discontinue service for a couple of weeks and then let him try again. That sort of consequence might be, you know, relevant, rather than just taking things away, because it's very important that the child has a chance to mess up and then straighten it out and learn how to do better. So there's your introduction to teaching kids about responsibility, and it's your responsibility to teach them, so go for it.